So, welcome everyone. Now we are going to look at the Fort Bethesda Metro project, which is at sketch plan phase. Just to let everyone know, the meeting is being recorded and the recording will be on the website. I'm also taking notes. We'll go on the website and I'll send them out to the team. We'll have about a 10 to 15 minute presentation from the applicant team, and then any comments from the public, and then we'll move into a discussion with the panel.
Great, thank you. Good morning. I'm going to give most of the time to Peter Glasson, our architect, to talk about the project. But my name is Simon Carney. I'm with Brookfield. Thanks for giving us the opportunity to talk to you all today. The numbers you see on the screen right here are just talking about Brookfield's bandwidth in terms of our capability to do interesting things around the world and also domestically in large projects. What I really want to highlight, though, is that our presence in Bethesda has been a long-term presence for many years. We own five properties in Bethesda. We bought the property that we're talking about today in 2011, and we definitely saw the potential to redevelop that property. We know that this is an important focal point for Bethesda, that it's the figurative and literal center of Bethesda, and so we don't take that lightly. We've been spending a lot of time with our plans. We just resubmitted a sketch plan yesterday in response to comments that we have received from Park and Planning. We're also, this is an interesting site because it is a ground lease site, and we're working with WMATA to move our plans forward. WMATA is very interested in what we're doing because WMATA always needs money, and this will be an accretive project to them once we get a building up on the site. The general project is to basically take down the existing three-story glass retail appendage on the project and replace that with a new building. But part of that whole process is going to include, and Peter will go into this in more detail, improving the public space, which today is not a very attractive space. And that also includes making improvements to the bus bay down below. All of this will be financed by Brookfield, so we're keyed up and prepared to do that. A lot of the comments we've received is how we're going to program this public space, and we'll be focusing on that today. What we have as a company is in our company is a company called Arts Brookfield, and Arts Brookfield will be engaged actively as the first footprint in the Washington D.C. area to bring artistic events to our project, free for the community, whether it be concerts, artistic expressions of artwork, dance, you name it. We've done it around the world in New York City and other big metropolises around the country, and we're looking forward to be able to execute that plan here to make sure that the public knows that whatever we build here is going to be space that is for the public and not just a corporate office park that nobody knows what's going on. We have been engaged with a PR company to make that sure that message gets across, and at the end we'll talk a little bit more about that. But our neighbors to the north, Clark, have had a campaign against our project going on for many years. This started with the prior ownership. They had said basically at that time that the sector plan, the then current sector plan, did not have enough flexibility, was not designed to accommodate a new building. And so we heard that message, and the message was, once the sector plan gets updated, come back to us and talk to us about a new project. So fast forward, we've been working for the past 3 years with the community, individuals, community groups, our neighbors. We've been listening to them. We understand that what their concerns are. We've been very careful to go through what the prescriptive requirements of the sector plan are for this site and also the guidelines from your panel on this site. And we think we are checking those boxes, keeping in mind that we're at sketch plan today, and it's not going to be as much detail, obviously, as a site plan, but we think there's enough information here we're going to show you to have a good, productive conversation about the project. And with that said, I'm going to give the floor to Peter. We're going to have questions at the end. I want to point out that Bob Harris, our attorney, is here, too, to help with the questions, and we have other folks in the room from Brookfield. And yeah.
Simon, if we go around, we just have everybody say who they are.
Yeah, sure, no problem. Again, I'm Simon Carney with Brookfield.
I'm Paul Mortensen, senior urban designer in the director's office here at Planning Department.
Carl Dupuy, architect on the panel.
Rod Hinderer, architect on the panel.
Rich Fernicola with Brookfield.
Bob Durris.
Chow Dreyu, landscape architect on the panel.
George Dobbs, WDG Architecture, on the panel.
Damon Orbano with Nova Ventures, a developer, on the panel.
Peter Glassman with SOM, the project architect.
Laura Shipman, I'm a liaison to the panel.
Mike Smith, from Melbourne Ombudsman Office, County Executive.
Margaret
McGinn,
Park and Planning Director's Office. Ellen Corn, Chesapeake Public Strategies.
Naomi Spinrad, CBAR, our resident.
Gwen Wright, Planning Director.
Andy Jones with Wolfield.
Tricia Colasar, resident.
Scott Phillips with Skidmore, Arlington, Merrill.
Elsa Heisler-McCoy, Area 1.
Robert Cronenberg with Area 1.
Grace Bondman, Area 1. Leslie Howerton, Area 1. Stephanie Dickel, Area 1, on the lead project.
David Shirey, Brookfield.
Richard Hoy, resident, Bethesda.
And Christopher Takis, SLM Director.
Great.
So with that, I'll take it away. I think as Rich, as Simon mentioned, we really, really understand that this is the heart and center of Bethesda. So with that as a premise, we take this project very seriously. We understand we're at the intersection of some key kind of traffic nodes here. And we also understand that this project has the ability to be the vanguard for future development, right? It's really going to set the stage for the next round of development that's happening in Bethesda. So people are going to be looking to this project to really have a high bar and a high standard, and we appreciate that as we look at the design and we look at the public realm and how we approach all of this. We also understand that we've got a lot of great things going on for the site, if that's all the users coming through on the metro, the key location of retail nodes adjacent to us, whether that's Bethesda Row or Woodmont Triangle to the north, or some smaller nodes to the south. We're located in a great spot as far as retail and activity. We've got a critical mass of office development around us. We have great potential to create a kind of iconic form within the silhouette of Bethesda skyline. There's ongoing renovations and at retail levels in the buildings around us. There's an existing network of inner courtyards that I think we want to try to connect to and play up around us and see how we can enhance that. We're on great visual corridors here, so we can really act as a beacon in the center of Bethesda, draw people to the site, create a great center for activity. And then there's an opportunity to really kind of feature in the current events of what's going on at the civic scale and the kind of urban scale at the lower levels of the building. As we looked at kind of our mission here, we really set out to kind of set up three key high-level drivers here. One was to improve the public realm, so dramatically upgrade the design and programming of the overall utilization of the public space. Two is to insert a building that both balances the qualitative goals with the structural and technical practicalities of development on an additional tower on the site. So I think, as we all know here, we're building on top of an existing metro. We spent a lot of time figuring out where we could site the building, how that can comply with the sector plan guidelines, and what was really feasible on the site from that perspective. There's a lot of constraints here, so I think we're working from all directions to really make this work technically, but also from an urban space and a user standpoint. And then lastly, really, how can we enhance the user experience, both for metro users, for the everyday public, for people that are occupying the buildings adjacent to the site. We really want to bring the level of user experience up here for our site. So those are our three main goals for this project at a high level. We understand there's a lot of issues and challenges to the site existing today. So it's a poor and leaky space that's not really contained. There's multiple grade changes. The space is underprogrammed and underutilized. There's actual physical barriers and obstructions as you go into the site. And there's a lack of active ground-level uses here. So we want to kind of look at all these things and find ways to improve them and look at them in a fresh and a holistic manner. So we also really want to fully promote the utilization of the entire site in its entirety, because right now it kind of is not being used in its entirety. So we thought about shifting the center of gravity to the inner spaces. We also are thinking about improving the eastern edge of the project and how people really arrive here and how this can be the true front door for Bethesda, and then how you connect those two spaces. There's kind of a duality that's going to happen between the more active eastern edge and the central space, which is kind of more of a space for the public to come and gather and then have community events. To do this, we have to do a lot of things to make this work well. So we have to create multiple access points and improve the ones that exist today. We've got to rethink the existing lawn as a destination. How do we draw people into that space? We want to promote creative ways of getting people into that space, whether that's through Arts Brookfield or events. How do we draw people back into the space? We also want to activate and enliven the edges here. So where can we put retail? How can we work with the amenities that we're putting in the building to really make this an engaging kind of environment on all levels? We're going to work on the grading. So we're no longer going to have really a steep set of stairs. We're going to try to have an accessible ADA grade that's a minimal slope that brings people back up to the site. And then, again, we want to enhance the connectivity down, so we've added an additional access point on the western side of the site down to the bus level, and we're going to drastically improve on the eastern edge of the main plaza, how people get down to the bus level below. This is our proposed site plan. We really see this as a mosaic of spaces. When taken together holistically, they really create a dynamic environment that's going to work well. We want to look at each one of these individual spaces and make sure that they're functioning at a high level. And then when you look at them collectively, they really make a proper gesture for the site, along with the massing and the architectural character of which we're going to develop as we get further on into design. So there's five key spaces. I'm going to walk through all of them. It's the plaza on the eastern edge, the central lawn, the promenade, the gallery, and then this arts Brookfield zone that we're talking about. So starting with the plaza on the eastern edge, we really think this is a welcoming, open, flexible environment. Multiple flows of people are going to be converging here, so it's very active, it's bustling. We want to make sure that the landscaping and the architecture kind of allows that to happen naturally and fluidly. The subway entrance that we're going to be kind of working on is going to really highlight the access point there and allow people to flow through the space in an intuitive way. And we also think there's the potential for pop-up retail and other uses to happen there seasonally in this space. This is a quick kind of initial thought on what this space could lay out like. To the left side there, you're getting a view back into the site, and then on the right side here, you're looking kind of north of Wisconsin. Moving on to the next space, which is the central lawn, we wanted to spend a little bit more time on this because we've heard feedback from the community when we've talked about this, and we understand that it's a challenge space. We understand that there's a long history here of how this space has either worked or not worked. We've outlined five principles here. I think these could apply to the whole site, but specifically to this part of our plan. We think we need world-class public realm and landscape design, so that really means right-sizing the lawn so it can function. We need scaled secondary spaces around that that support that. And then we need kind of a palette of rich materials and plant things that really support that space and make it a welcoming environment. As we mentioned earlier, the programming has to be very thoughtful. So whether that's Arts Brookfield, play spaces, seasonal events, or kind of wellness and fitness initiatives that we can bring into the space, we think there's a whole aspect of this that really comes down to the programming and how we use that space and how we make it successful. On the third point there, I think this is kind of goes without saying, but we need engaging architecture. We need the massing and the form of the building to really open up views into the back of the site and to encourage people to flow back there. We want the materiality and the texture of the architecture to kind of also have an appropriate scale when it hits the ground to help that flow of people into the back of the site. We want to choreograph the amenities and the retail in the building. We want to work with our F&B partners to make sure that we're placing the right food and beverage and retail components on the site in key places. And we also want the amenities for the building to be not only at the top but at the lower levels to really have the opportunity to activate the spaces at the ground floor and the second level podium. And then lastly, as I mentioned earlier, enhanced connectivity is really important. So we're proposing a new vertical connection on the west side, just adjacent to the central lawn, to kind of make sure people can flow directly out of the bus level and up into this plaza. So here's a quick plan of this particular space. It's just over 11,000 square feet, and we'll go through some examples of what you could fit within this. We think it's a flexible program space with temporary events and installations. It features art. It can be activated by retail kiosks, and it could also transform into a destination. You can use it for summer screen events or other initiatives in that. So here's a quick visualization of maybe a summer screen event that could happen back here in the space. We've also laid out some other kind of key markers for different typologies that could fit within this. So on the page here, we have a kind of typical farmer's market array here, which would fit about 26 typical tents at 12 by 12 here, which is more than enough to kind of sustain a typical market that you would have. We have a smaller stage concert here, which fits well over 1,000 people, using around 5 square feet per person as a standard. So certainly you could hold a decent-sized event here if you wanted to. And then if you have a more casual event here with around 9 square feet per person, you could more than comfortably fit close to 300 people in this space. You can also have more formal or ceremonial type events here if you wanted to have a seating arrangement of 400 people plus some room for a standing gallery of 100 people. That could also be facilitated within this space. So we think there's a lot of flexibility within the this lawn here, and combined with some of our other initiatives, it has the opportunity to be really successful. Moving on to the next linking space is this promenade, which we really see as an open-air retail mall. It's 55 feet wide, which is the equivalent to Bethesda Row. To the south, we know the Hyatt is making upgrades to the base of their building. There's going to be retail and activation happening there, so we have a kind of double-loaded corridor condition now if we can have retail in our base of our building, so that will work well. It's got active, visible, accessible ground floor uses. We're going to have outdoor seating and landscape terraces for people to occupy outside of the retail. And we want it to be a clear, intuitive connection to the inner block, so I think we're going to have people draw through this space and into the inner lawn. Moving on to the next space is really the gallery, which is more of a kind of quiet space. It's between 3BMC and our building. We think, you know, maybe this is where you go to have a, you know, quiet lunch with a friend, or you go to read a book on your lunch break. It's a linking space. It can feature outdoor seating and permanent art. And it's a place for informal gathering, and it's both for employees and visitors. But we think this is kind of a nice counterpoint to the more active, energetic spaces on the site. Just a quick view of that. And then also, you know, as we mentioned, we think Arts Brookfield is a super important part of this project. It's also part of our legacy as SOM. We've always been very committed to having art in our projects, and we think this is a key driver in the success of this space and the whole project. It could be temporary sculptures, light installations, interactive art, media walls, projections, summer movies and screenings, seasonal festival events, and holiday markets. And we think, you know, we're working on the key location here, but we want it to be visible from Wisconsin. We want people to be drawn into the site by the placement of this and the activation that happens around it. As I mentioned earlier, we're also going to enhance the access on the eastern side of the site here and really bring the level up for this. And then we're working on a new elevator on the western side and enhancement of the stairs that bring you down to the bus level on the west side. So here's a quick visualization of the kind of new metro access from below. We want kind of an intuitive wayfinding in here. We're going to do that through the use of materials and signage and really make this a welcoming kind of portal into Bethesda. With all of that in mind, what we've done is we've focused our efforts very much on the public realm design, and in keeping with the sector plan guidelines, we've begun to outline the massing for both a residential and a commercial option for the site. We're looking to make a selection on that as we move forward. But in the supplemental documents here, we have both the massings and the site plans, which are part of the sector plan, that are part of the sketch plan submission that went in yesterday. So we're more than happy to discuss any of this with you and go through comments that you may have.
So we'll do about 5 to 10 minutes of comments from the public, and if there are more comments, we'll leave those to the end, and then we'll have discussion from the panel. So, the
there we are. Thanks. I use the Bethesda bus bay to get here today. And as a longtime resident, I too view this as the heart. In fact, as a firefighter, I decided to stay here to make this Bethesda my home when I knew that this site was going to be a metro station, because this would change the character of the community that my father had an office and a building here and that I grew up in. It was going to change the character to meet the expectations of a younger person and a person of limited means, a firefighter. So I'm happy to see the development and all the secondary impacts of development that make it a more welcoming place to a broader spectrum of people. And that's the power and the energy and my investment in this site is: how does this site speak to a broad cross-section of people and bring us together rather than be tribal? And so I have an experience of the subway station that is pretty powerfully negative, and it's hard to invite people, my friends, to enjoy and feel an investment in Bethesda when they experience this as their entryway. So I believe that the focus of the design work really needs to focus not on what's above it, but on the station level. And also on the perspectives that everyone has when they are a block or two away from the site, looking at the site from the perspective of a pedestrian or a driver, but encountering the visual experience of what is this thing here. And for blocks around the Bethesda Metro Station, the area is deadened by the impacts of the current design. So I would like to see perspectives from the applicant and from your work that would visualize what is the experience a block or two away from the station for someone who is new to Bethesda or someone who's been here a long time and wanting to point proudly to it. You know, this is a special place, a special community place. And right now, you see from all the street corners away from the site, looking at the site, you see something pretty negative. And that doesn't intuitively welcome you, doesn't tell you what it is, doesn't make you feel safe there. So this is what I would like to see, is a focus on Metro Bus Bay area. And that should be a place of greeting where and welcoming and a place to hang out. You should feel like it's okay to miss my bus or my train connection because of the experience I'm having with someone either I know or I've just met there, like we have at Union Station. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Any other comments? Patricia Colasar, I'm a resident. I don't like it. The residents, a lot of them, would prefer a corner park. We've sent a lot of emails to Protect Bethesda Open Space to the planners, and your design is so triangulated, and that central lawn is anything but central. Central means people see it, and I think as the gentleman over there was saying, nobody is going to see that place. You can't stand on Wisconsin and see it. It's so hidden in the back, it just doesn't even make sense. So for the residents of Bethesda who've written in, we want to see a corner park. Thank you.
I actually like this plan a lot. It reminds me of the small streets that lead into squares in European cities where you have retail along those small streets. In some cases, no cars. And you get to the square, and it's got cafes and activity and is a respite from the urban area. I like the fact that the building that's proposed is angled in such a way that you do have somewhat of an open area. I personally would not want to spend a great deal of time at the intersection of Wisconsin and Old Georgetown because it's noisy, it's polluted, it's not a pleasant area to hang out in. So I think there are many intriguing aspects of this plan. I would caveat that by saying the programming of the area is very important to liven it up, and getting in the right kind of retail is also particularly important to keep it active. I don't know if you all have decided whether it should be commercial or residential or some combination, but I think there has to be a residential element or it will die after 7 o'clock at night. So those are my comments.
Great. So,
may I make one more comment? Sure, but I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Thanks. As a pedestrian, what's critical in these big intersections that we have in Bethesda is the massing of buildings, and we need more massing buildings in bigger intersections in order to pedestrianize them. So, building the mass of the building away from the curb or the sidewalk is it makes it a more vulnerable, vacant experience for me as a pedestrian. And I think that you look across the street at the space that was created for the Chip Chase Bank building. That's a failure. And we should learn from our mistakes and try and enclose these great intersections that we have. And there's a tremendous energy of car traffic and ambiance. Really, that is Wisconsin Avenue at rush hour. And the buildings can help to energize that and help to, you know, create that, turn that into a positive experience.
Great. Any thoughts from the panel?
I like how diverse the programs are. We have active lawn use, and we have passive, and we have combined with retail spaces. I do agree with one of the residents there that the lawn space seems to be a little bit secluded, especially with all the buildings surrounding and create all the shade. I'm not sure lawn is going to grow there very well.
Yeah, so we've done a considerable amount of solar studies here, and for our site, there's actually a pretty appropriate amount of daylight and sunlight that's going to happen there.
Okay.
In that space. The massings to the south are a little bit lower. There's a key corridor there on the southern exposure that's open between two buildings. So we've studied that extensively, and we feel confident that that lawn will grow.
Another thing is we haven't seen the circulation in terms of parking access and all that. How would that affect the spaces? Those parking, or is that too early to answer that?
We're utilizing the existing parking garage, so we don't intend to add additional parking to the project. There's available parking downstairs as it is, so there, no additional parking will be added.
And loading and all that.
We are looking into that. That's still in the works, I think.
We're evaluating the loading, either utilizing the existing loading in 3BMC and then come across, down and across and up, or potentially discussions with WMATA to create a small loading berth within the
bus
bay.
So it won't affect the space now that what we've seen here?
It will not affect any of the public spaces.
Under the surface.
Yeah.
And I'll add that the parking garage has two access points, one from Woodmont and one from Wisconsin Avenue, and it had an inordinate number of spaces, a ratio of 3 per 1,000, which is far greater than anything that existed in 1985, and certainly about twice of what is being offered today. So we are already dialing back what we're offering future office tenants to accommodate this future of the building. So that really, that experience won't change.
Is that garage essentially full today?
Well, it's a cooperative between Brookfield and Hyatt, with Meridian next door, and then we oversell to transit parkers to bring it to capacity, but it's probably 85-90%.
Because we're going to be losing a very large public garage, you know, up Woodmont for the Marriott. And I know, I have a lot of friends that work in that area who have been, you know, I mean, I'm a proponent of transit use, maximum transit use. But everybody that I talk to nowadays is saying that in the last 2 years or so, all of the parking garages essentially in that area have become full. And that's why I'm asking, how much is it full today? Because, you know, at some point, and maybe this isn't your problem, maybe this is our problem, at some point, you know, it's going to get to the point where people won't locate there because there's just no place to park for those who drive. And I think it's something that we should be thinking about a little bit more, particularly if this is going to be such a large building at this location. Because it's becoming a problem in that area. And I know that all we're doing is densifying that area, and I'm not sure if we're...
It may be helpful that the County Department of Transportation did a detailed parking study of Bethesda, and you may want to get a copy.
I think it's an interesting point, so we'll look into that.
And that's sort of, I mean, that's not even what I really want to talk about today, but I'm assuming that you guys have analyzed all the problems that are in this area today, in the Metro Plaza.
Yes.
And sort of the attached elements to it. And there are many. Clearly there are many. I mean, I think just, I walked around it yesterday and if you just take out steps, there's probably 20 different levels you have to get up and down to. And, you know, I mean, it's crazy. But that said, you know, the great spaces in this world, in Europe or anywhere else, are great because they are absolutely linked to everything else that's going on around them. Not only just that are facing onto those spaces, but they're linked by all the great streets that then take you to someplace else. And you know, one of your precedents, for instance, was Bethesda Lane. And, you know, you have a street at each end of Bethesda Lane, which I think helps make Bethesda Lane what it is today. You know, it's very active. It's a great example. But it has streets at each end. And, you know, unfortunately, you guys don't have that. And so, you know, I mean, you look at the grand stair that comes up, from the south. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen more than maybe two people walk up that stair at a time ever. So it's clearly not used. You have no connection to Woodmont currently from that plaza, which I think is a big problem. You know, because that there are people that are walking over there. We just had a project just before you that's proposing a brand new residential building right over on that side. There's going to be another one that's proposed right, and then we have two new residential buildings that are coming on, you know, Old Georgetown. There's a lot of residential in this area. So how do you get up and over from, you know, Woodmont onto this plaza? And then if you're going north from these plazas, which, you know, you have the little stair that takes you down to this, to the bridge that then takes you over to the red. And, you know, all of that is so circuitous and so out of the way that it clearly helps in essentially killing those spaces that are back there today. So, you know, there used to be a ton of retail in that glass building, you know, that was essentially, the idea was, let's stimulate a lot of activity in these spaces by creating this food court that is retail. So, you know, you're going to put new retail here and probably will be highly used for a year or so. But then what sustains it? You know, what is it that's going to sustain it? And right now, I'm very concerned about it. I just don't think that there's enough, you know, you can't just say I'm going to program it and therefore it will be. You know, it's got to be more than that. It's got to be something that sustains it. Is there a reason also why you're not including the plaza that's to the south of your lawn today in your designs?
We don't own that.
Might be helpful.
Chevy Chase land.
Yeah, I mean, certainly it would function as part of the open space, Paul, but we don't want to take the liberties of declaring that we control it, because we don't. But if there were to be a movie or a concert out there, absolutely people would be using that space.
These are all private spaces, so clearly you're going to have to deal with that. But, in this case particularly, I think they would be, because if you look up there, there's an entrance to, what is it, the 3 Bethesda. Mm-hmm. Right? Yep. That seems to be an extremely secondary entrance currently. So it's not generating people. I see the entrance on the building below, the Woodmont Avenue building. There's an entrance there. And again, extremely secondary. And I don't see anybody using that entrance. And so, you know, I think that in order for this all to work, there's got to be a massively coordinated effort in essentially changing lobbies, potentially putting retail in some of those fronts that are now office. It's because this is just a really, really tough plan. I mean, that where you're putting the stair and that elevator right now, looking at that from below is really, really, really scary, because that's just a dark, ugly corner that's raised up off of North Lane. So you can't even get to it from North Lane.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of problems here that I think, you know, we can all say we're going to make these great places and we're even going to program them, but it's got to be more than that, I think. And so I'm trying to get a better understanding of what the more, you know, the design essentially will be that will, you know, sustain this over time.
Well,
Paul, you're certainly right. It's a challenging space in every respect, and I, for one, am not going to say it is going to be the perfect open space ever, but not that it ever has been, but by bringing in retail and more development there and by activating it, it gives it the best chance. So I think we should talk with Chevy Chase Land about, you know, quote, incorporating their space into the plan and working with them. They're certainly not going to want to make physical improvements to their building until they see how it functions. But
The hotel as well. Back end of the hotel is not pretty either.
No. But although, as you saw yesterday when you were walking around, now with Starbucks coming in there and additional retail.
Well, that's up on the front, though, isn't it?
It bends around the edge where those four trees are along that area there. Yeah. Right there. It's got a substantial frontage along there.
Yeah. And that will help. Yeah. So, you get them to change their bar so that the back of their bar isn't facing the plaza. That would help dramatically, too. And then something at this...
Yeah.
At this end, that could potentially be the tenant of that square that makes it something. Exactly. You know,
you're right. Yeah, definitely.
What is the Chevy Chase Land Plaza you're talking about? Is that the stamp piece?
Yeah. This whole area right here is from here. Oops. Yeah. From here over to here, and then
the stairs.
Here is a plaza. The stairs come down on either side there.
But it's a large open area, paved now, and seating out there to some degree.
Yeah, I mean, in essence, it's almost as large as what you're showing as the lawn. Mm-hmm. So it's
a little retail over here, too.
The real challenge is that's up 20 or 25 feet up from grade down below.
I mean, I think you need a promenade visual that takes you from Woodmont up through these stairs and elevators to show that access, because I agree with Paul that, you know, this thing has no porosity to get there. You know, you really have to know that you want to go there.
Yeah, and that's the challenge.
It's not working.
Sure, right. It's easier just to scuttle through the bus bay to go wherever you want to go right now, mm-hmm. and we appreciate that, and that's why we need to work on drawing people up to the plaza.
Well, that's
the
why
grade changes the challenge.
You probably need more drawings of bus bays, etc., and how that actually all work, and what that tree of columns is going to actually, you know, columns, trees down there.
Right.
Yeah, part of the challenge is working with WMATA. We do have certain constraints as to where, obviously, we need to locate our structure on top of their structure, so that facilitates or necessitates the location of the building as we're showing it. And from WMATA's perspective, is we need to make sure we're not impacting their operations as well. So we're working very closely with them. And then the aesthetic of improving the actual look of the bus bay. So we've had very in-depth conversations with WMATA at the site, in addition to, you know, with their entire team.
But I think you need a plan at that, you know, a very clear plan of where the columns are coming down, where the, you know, curb cuts are, et cetera, where the foundations are of number three, you know, Bethesda Metro Center, et cetera, and how it meets the ground. And, you know, that's what's missing from this presentation. We have absolutely no idea about that whole level. The other major issue here is that how are you going to rationalize all these different levels? And coming off of Wisconsin, going up two or three steps here, and then going down seven steps over there. And you talked about in your presentation of essentially establishing a whole new ground plane.
There's an elevation at the eastern edge.
Yep.
Right. Which is adjacent to the curb. And then there's an elevation which is several feet up here, inside of the site. So we've got enough run here to do an ADA compliant slope that will gradually bring you up. So we will not need stairs.
What about over at Wisconsin and over Georgetown?
It's the same thing. This is going to taper off and it's going to be the existing grade here. So we don't have an issue.
So there's a grade change that's almost imperceptible.
Yeah.
So I'm completely with Paul and his comments, and, you know, this is a fundamental case. If you build it, will they come? You know, obviously, that's what the early issue is. And, you know, I've been a Bethesda area resident now for 20 years, and until 2 days ago, it was the first time I've ever walked back where you have the Lincoln Central line. And it's kind of interesting that at a very conceptual level, what you're proposing isn't significantly different than what's there right now, right? You've done a much better design, but will it be any more successful than really what's there? Yeah, the lawn will be easier to get to because it'll be at the same plane as the rest of the pavement. but will it become the great space that I think everybody would like to see it become? And yeah, can we rely on the programming? You know, so I come from a firm that does a great deal of retail, and what we often do is this predictive heat mapping, pedestrian heat mapping. Yeah. And it allows you to test various program elements relative to the events you're showing there to see how that space is really going to work as a more predictive tool. And one of the things that I suggest is try the heat mapping on this project and see what the results give you. And yet, you would believe if 3 Metro Center was this great destination, that central lawn would absolutely work. No doubt about it. It would solve a lot of problems for you. And so I get behind the whole idea. Is there ways at least converting some of that space that's a boundary to it that can become an active participant? Because I, from my experience, I don't think the retail you're planning there is enough to draw those people back there. I think the comment that the retail would be great, the restaurants would be great for a year or so, then what happens after that time? You're going to perhaps lose that tenant after their 5-year lease.
Right. So all of that layers of walls, et cetera, that are between your stair going down and the inner workings of 3 Bethesda Metro Center, you know, are really in the wrong place. You know, it's like, how are you going to open that up?
You have
to do that.
As well as, and I know it's not your land, but the stairway down on the south side. To be honest with you, I've been there for 20 years. The first time I walked down, it was 2 days ago. It's miserable.
And the pitch is so great, you're almost uncomfortable walking down.
I appreciate your comments. I'm wondering, I might have missed the first part of what you said. Do you have suggestions on how we can improve that
situation? My suggestion is to do this predictive heat mapping.
Predictive heat mapping,
The project to allow you to say, based on the events you're staging, what pedestrian flow you'll get. And what you build into it is the 9,000 people that use the station a day, the patrons to the Hyatt, the patrons to the Metro Center, and potentially either office or residential patrons, all can begin to tell you in a probably a bit better fashion. And it's a little bit of witch science, to be honest with you.
Yep.
But it's probably a bit better than just raw speculation.
Okay. I don't know about predictive heat mapping. Do you guys know how to do that?
It's talking about a simulated pedestrian model. Right?
Okay. Okay.
It's another word.
Okay.
Yeah. Exactly
right.
Oh, that.
I do believe in the effectiveness of programming. I think Central Harbor has proven that if one really puts their mind to it, you can create a there out of, well, that has a river and all kinds of things. But still, what's made that magical is the programming that's happened over the last 5 years. Pardon?
Where
National Harbor. That's a different environment, but it's because Peterson or whoever, and I'm sure Brookfield has the same capacity, has committed to an ongoing program.
Yeah.
So I do think that's a good solution. I have another slightly more radical thought. We learned something from a project that came through here a few months ago down at Montgomery and Wisconsin, which is the hotel project, et cetera, that created a major public space under the building, which is not something that has been embraced in Bethesda in the past for public use space, but there, the height of it and the way it was configured began to bring the public realm into the building and create something which was very exciting. And it occurs to me that one of the problems I'm having with this project right now is we don't know what the building is.
Right.
We don't know how the building works. We see some visual of retail crashing into the crowd. And my big thing from the urban design standpoint is the first 30 feet of the building and how it works and what it really is compelling. So what I'm considering suggesting is that perhaps at least half of the future building might be raised up 30 feet in the air. Height should not be an issue in this location. If you needed some additional height to compensate for the space, maybe that would work. But what that has the potential of doing is taking the 55-foot promenade and anchoring it on the north side with something that provided shelter, excitement, lighting, whatever. It increases visibility from Old Georgetown and Wisconsin, and it maybe makes the back parcel not feel so far away. So maybe that's completely out of the realm of possibility.
No, I mean, I think it's a great comment, and we're very early on in our stages of design now, but that's one of the things we're looking at is how we
really activate that lower level of the building and what's the opportunity for the massing and the ground plane to really react together. And I think that in itself could be a very exciting moment for the architecture and create a there that, right?
Yeah. George.
Gives you a lot to work with.
Yeah. Yeah. George, you're referring to the, I think, 7359 building there?
I can't remember the name.
Yeah, okay, right at the corner there. Yeah. Okay. And Gwen, were you okay? I know you've had questions over the years about space. We faced it with the car project about space like that. That apparently satisfied
that was,
you, though?
Well, and you need to see the project. It uh-huh. was not just a sort of walkway under the
right.
building.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
is a really full-blown space, and the whole building is sort of built around it, and there's artwork that emphasizes the ceiling of that space. I mean, it's so that would be my only concern, which is, you know, the idea here would be to do what George just mentioned. Would have to be like a full-blown design idea, not just sort of an extra allay of walking area, you know, with, you know, pilote or whatever, you know, separating. It would have to truly, because that's we have that all over downtown Silver Spring, and it's not successful. No, it would have to be like a full-blown design idea.
Yeah. I mean, it has the potential of creating an architectural experience, not a plaza experience, but an architectural experience at the human scale that could be there that we're sort of missing, in my mind.
Okay. And I do think that what was said was true is that it's, you know, without knowing more about the building, it's hard to sort of understand or comment on all aspects of the open space as well.
Right.
I think the building will have a big impact.
And you guys haven't decided on whether it's commercial or residential. I mean, that'll make a difference in the activation of the lawn as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
All around it right now is commercial buildings.
Right.
And you see people out there eating lunch during lunch hours during the week, business week.
Yeah.
But on the weekends at night, it's dead. So if it was a residential building, that would add a lot more.
Yeah. And we're leaning towards residential, but we're before we obviously submit site plan, we have to come up with a decision on that, and it's going to be coming very shortly.
So, can you explain that intersection of Old Georgetown and Montgomery and Wisconsin, and how that pedestrian path goes over in between the lanes that are going
here?
No, that guy going
the west
right
side.
Across.
This is the existing condition
here. Here,
the gal.
Across the street.
That's the way it is today. Yeah,
that's ridiculous, isn't it? Because it goes between the lanes going to the right and the lanes going to the left.
It actually amazingly works well. They put that in about 10 years ago.
How do you stop between the lanes?
The northern lanes. Northern lanes go straight and right. And the southern lanes go left.
I understand that.
But
where do you stop if you get caught? I mean, there's no oasis out there.
There's an island.
The island isn't accurately shown.
Well, so you haven't drawn the island.
As long as you sprint, you're fine.
I was going to say, because it's kind of weird.
You're using the tunnel.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
Yeah.
And these guys did improve the tunnel about 5 years ago,
too. I don't understand why you don't go
down,
across Wisconsin.
Well, that's part of our... And we think this tunnel has been kind of successful with having the artwork there, and we're always talking about part of these plans is extending that feel of the artwork going into the Bus Bay area to make it more...
Well, that's why you need to have
transition.
That ground floor plan.
Yeah.
Right. Because this is the plus one level, really, if you really think about the street.
Right, yeah.
And on that note, what's below the central lawn right now?
It's the kiss and ride. The dark blue.
I mean, I'm wondering if we're not working too hard to make that central lawn work, and if the pedestrian connection to Woodmont, that side, could be improved by essentially demolishing the central lawn level and making that piece of it more about connecting to the gallery and the promenade.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, I think I would suggest that, you know, in the diagrams that you're showing is the shift of center of gravity. I mean, you probably thought about this, but I mean, psychologically, why don't you say that essentially the entry plaza is the center of gravity? No, over there. Because it is. I mean, it really is. It's where everybody will be going, coming out of the buses. It has the great, what will be, good retail, have the new Starbucks and everything around it. It could have fantastic retail there. It will be used, and then this becomes something totally different. It's either, you know, the great connection to below. I'm wondering whether instead of an open lawn, maybe it's a like a totally glassed in where the windows could even come up type of pavilion. You could have a concert in it. You could have a wedding in it or something like that. Or it could be opened up and you could have a festival that spills out over the lawn and you know, it becomes essentially something that that is a destination. It could be something that even is managed by the hotel, you know, or something where you start to get that, you know, that activity that you can use in the wintertime as well as in the summertime.
Beer
garden
in Germany.
Yeah, well, you show the examples of the Oktoberfest festival. Yes, absolutely. And then that becomes a destination. So that makes it more maybe secondary to the primary that is out here. And then maybe that entry plaza, you know, it's tough with the stair and that planter that you have right dead center in it.
Maybe if the
building goes up and you have the undercarriage of the building, maybe that expands it even more and it becomes the center.
Well, one thing that, again, I think we have been talking about that entry plaza for a long time is it sounds like you have looked at ways to solve the problem because it is above the sidewalk level to create an area where there are no steps so that you can get up to it, even though there will then have to be a little retaining wall, but keep that retaining wall as low as possible. But greening it. I think that all the grass you're showing on the central lawn should be your grass in your entry plaza. And have that not be hardscape, but have that be green. And make the entry to the metro, again, and this is working with WMATA, one of the problems now is that it's a giant hole in the ground. If it could read as, you know, a traditional metro exit, like, Cleveland Park or, you know, something where you come up and it's a sculptural element so that, you know, not necessarily the traditional wing that they have, but maybe some, you know, really interesting glassy element in the middle of a lawn, then I think that area becomes really special. And if they need the ventilation, I think is what was being described, is do the ventilation back at the central lawn area rather than where you have your sort of, you know, your center of gravity, your entry plaza, and turn that, walk those escalators into, you know, an interesting piece of sculpture.
That's as an aside, Gwen, I hear what you're saying. The plan is to move the escalator entrance to the south more, mm-hmm. and to so that there isn't that big void out in the front. It would be more typical. We're talking with them about a unique canopy, but that's not decided whether they would want their standard canopy or would agree to a unique canopy. But those are ideas that could be. And as far as the central lawn, I don't want to commit my client. I'm certainly not an architect either. But I've been hung up, I have to say, with the 1980 plan and the vision for that central lawn. And maybe that isn't a sacred ingredient anymore. Maybe, you know, per Elsa's and Paul's comments, you know, maybe that gets perforated.
No, I mean, we have enough room in the front to be able to activate that area and make it look interesting. So. Mm-hmm.
I think we're away on the building side, potentially.
I think we would help you in terms of this ground floor plan showing where you would have good land use. In other words, all your images talk about land use on both sides, et cetera, the promenade, et cetera. But here we don't see any sense of that. All we see is tables and trees, and we have no sense about what's happening with Hyatt Regency and those diagonals, you know, below.
You're talking about a true ground floor plan as opposed to
a true, exactly, a true ground floor plan to show real access, a NOLI type plan. Yeah. Because
you got it on the left.
Yeah. Well, over there you've got, and it's a rabbit ward, you know. Look at all those offices and WCs and everything else. Right. So what we need is that on all the
from a pedestrian heat map, you know, again, I was just thinking about that, what you were saying is where you're getting the thousands and thousands of people is at that metro. Whether that's where they're coming up and, you know, getting above ground. So that is your center of gravity. That is where that is the people place, because you naturally, you don't have to guide people there. They're going to be there because they're coming up out of the metro there. I think it has to be, you come up out of the metro to something that's green and inviting and great, rather than, I think hardscape is problematic.
Okay. I'd like to say that sounds exactly like the Clark plan. I think that's a good idea.
Well, the Clark plan, some of those elements of the Clark plan, would shrink the building to an 8,000 square foot footprint, which just doesn't work. No.
I think we could look all the way over
again.
But I think green is important. There's a lot of hardscape that has historically not worked well in Bethesda. So I just, you know, would emphasize green,
including the central line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, again, I think you could I had always advocated for the idea of having another escalator from the metro up at the central lawn, so that, you know, if you got off at the metro and you're at the bus bay level, you'd have a choice to say, oh, I want to go north on Wisconsin, I go out that escalator, or gee, maybe I want to go to 3 Bethesda Metro or something else. And you don't get to have an entrance at the bus bay level. You're sort of forced to go up to a grander entrance at the central lawn, so that there's, again, a way of sort of forcing people. The metro is your generator of people, and you're forcing them to the places where you want them to be.
This area has a very low ceiling height going down to the bus bay, so it's something we could definitely look at to make the approach, you know, better. So.
A couple more comments I had we started to do a little bit of a study yesterday, Margaret and I, just looking at the size of these spaces and trying to compare them to sizes of spaces that people might know. If you take the plaza that you're not showing in the green, and then the green, so just that area, that's about 0.6 acres, which ends up being about the size of the Rockville Town Center Plaza without the streets. So that's the size. And you take the entry plaza, and roughly, again, without the streets, it's roughly the same square footage as Bethesda Lane. And I think, so even though you're showing the promenade as, you know, sort of the example of Bethesda Lane, you know, that's about the square footage. And so, you know, it might help, or maybe cause problems, but it might help to kind of compare them with spaces of that. So, you know, because you showed all the people and how many people you get per square foot, it's hard. You know, that's a number, and no one understands numbers, but they do understand spaces. The other thing I was looking at yesterday, and I might go a little bit more with Elsa's comment about how you maybe get down, you know, the central lawn, and trying to maybe have it. Maybe just think about it in a different way of connections. But I was also wondering, and I know it's not in your property, but right here, you know, you could almost have a stair. That some of the images that you were showing with your stairs, I thought were very nice. You could almost have a stair from right there that would land on that island and allow cars to get under it. And you know, that's probably not, I mean, first of all, it's the right-of-way. You'd be putting a stair in the right-of-way, and we'd really be getting into issues that we talked about before. But you know, the idea, though, of getting down from that plaza to Woodmont, you know, where you can see Woodmont, you're actually connecting to it and allowing people to come up that way as well, is something that I think it would be nice to explore in a little bit more detail.
You don't waste any time standing on it.
Yeah. Hi, my name is Reggie Oldak. I'm a Bethesda resident. I find it really exciting to hear all these alternative ideas about the Capitol, about the central lawn. I just want to echo what Gwen has said, that we need green space. We need a central gathering space that is green, not just a conduit down to a walkway down to the metro. So I want to make sure that is remembered.
Right before we have that last comment, do we have any more comments from the panel before I summarize?
I'm very excited by the discussion we've had here. It's my first time here with this group, and I applaud your work. Again, I focus as a resident here as how does the plan speak to the casual experience of everyone and bring us together. This is a separate use we're talking about forcing on a level above the metro. The casual experience of everyone coming and going is really at the bus bay level, whether you're on the street or in the bus bay area. And that should be the common focal point, and this is where the energy should be. I love the idea of raising the building, and in fact, I think the entire plaza area in my ideal world would be removed, and you start the building a floor above the plaza level. So you'd have columns of statuettes, you'd have great columns, and a great space that could be combined with different uses for the community and for travelers, in a la Union Station. And your heat map, I hope that you will map what are the pedestrian routes that people use. I don't believe that the short escalator to the plaza level, the bus bay level, is highly used. And it's all the other entryways that are really the backdoor experience that are used, and therefore you should honor them and not ignore them. And so the heat map should reflect what do people use for travel and where is the center of focus from the way people actually use space. I would connect Woodmont Avenue through the number 3 Bethesda Metro Center. I would open up the atrium area from Woodmont Avenue, and so that would be a 24-hour walkway that would convey people to and from the Metro Bus Bay area. So that the Bus Bay area, as you look at it, at number 3 Bethesda Metro, is an open and welcoming public space that is also sheltered. And, you know, if Clark wanted to catch on to a good idea, they could do the same thing.
We are currently exploring that element that you speak of. From the entrance to 3 Bethesda Metro, from the Bus Bay, we're negotiating with an e-bikes group that would do sell bicycles there. On the west side of Woodmont Avenue, there was a former dialysis center,
right,
which is right, vacated. We are blowing that space up here in the next 30 days, and we have met with a couple consulting and architectural firms to see how we can bring people in off of Woodmont, activate 3 Bethesda Metro, and then bring them up onto the plaza, because there's no clearly defined entrance to Bethesda Metro.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I do believe that we're forcing an idea here, and that should tell us that there are ways that are more community enhancing, which again I believe is to make a Union Station experience out of the Bus Bay area and combine retail and community spaces.
And I just understand we're inheriting a dark, hellish place in the Bus Bay.
Yeah.
And I can really say, who knew that Dunkin' Donuts would be a beacon in the desert? It's a bright orange spot, and people love it.
You know, it's a place of safe haven.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. So I make light, but I know how important that is. And
right,
also, to Paul's comment before, who knew that Burger King was the coolest destination spot back in 1989?
Right.
And that food court did exceedingly well.
Yeah.
We want to recreate something newer, better, different.
Well, it's best to map that heat map, to map what people walk and do now, mm-hmm, and honor that rather than try and create something that will entice them to come to someplace they are not going.
Sure. Or maybe a little bit of both, right? Yeah. Find out what people are doing now, and then
okay,
if you want to drive other
reasons or something different.
Of course, they'll have a building right in the middle, so they won't be able to see their Burger King or their Dunkin' Donuts or whatever you put in the back. So, building back and make the nice big green space and put some shops on the thing called the promenade.
Is there something that we're going to, we haven't talked about the building massing at all. Is that going to be like a subsequent discussion or?
What do we feel, is there time in the sketch plan for them to come back to talk about the massing of the building itself before they go to the planning board, or does that have to be before they submit site plan?
I mean, I think within
sort of the parameters of the sketch plan. I think the issues that we're talking about are sketch plan level issues.
Mm-hmm.
I think we will identify, I mean, the building massing is essential, I mean, for all the reasons we've talked about. And if it's an office building and a residential building, that's a totally different discussion.
Right.
And then I think, you know, there may be another DAP visit before site plan. In fact, I would encourage you all, when you have picked one, or if you're developing both, that we come back and we focus on the architecture, maybe before site plan.
Do you think that if we move forward to sketch plan without this group having commented on the building massing, we basically need to say that, you know, we're not endorsing anything
that you submitted.
So if you want some endorsement of something you can hang your hat on, when you do want to go forward with site plan, I think it does need to come back prior to sketch plan.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Because right now, we looked at the one slide you had about building massing for like 2 seconds. And
right.
That typically is one of our biggest discussions during sketch plan. And I just, so my, you know, my preference is that we have a more thorough discussion about building massing prior to sketch plan so that you have some clear direction. But I don't know if today, given that it's 5 minutes to 12, is the time to do it.
You know, SOM's from Chicago. I can't stop thinking about the plaza and the Tribune Tower.
Oh, yeah,
the historic one. You know, and how iconic that is when you're kind of coming across the bridge and you're looking at that plaza, and that terminates your view. So I'm expecting something as good in a modern.
So are people willing to have another DAP meeting prior to the sketch plan? Well, I don't know what this, maybe, Elsa, what's the schedule like?
Right now.
June 21.
Yeah, right. I mean, we can come back if you want. Honestly, we had assumed we would come back certainly before we submitted the site plan, but we're anticipating getting a sketch plan review by the planning board with sort of a...
A general
massing.
Yeah, I just think that this group needs to look at that if you're looking for a general endorsement.
I mean, at this point, you would not have a general endorsement
right.
as to the architecture.
That's right.
And so all of the comments that have been provided, so you wouldn't have anything to hang your hat on in terms of the architecture.
Or
that
the
would
massing.
All be,
right.
That's what I mean. I'm sorry, the massing of the building.
Okay. Well, we did look at it, by the way. I went through the sector plan very carefully.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of the recommendations in the sector plan and in the resubmission that we made yesterday, it explains exactly how we are totally coloring with inside the lines there, which, as I understand the findings that are necessary for a sketch plan, that's what we need. The building architecture and those issues are more site plan.
Not
architecture,
but
even the massing.
Some massing here that, you know, again, you haven't described it to us, and it is interesting, but this group in all previous projects has been very involved in commenting on the building massing at the sketch plan stage in terms of how it relates to the design guidelines. And so I think that's important, but I we can do it now if you want, but I think everyone's a little
I can see what you're doing here with the massing, but I also would be very interested in seeing, you know, how that massing then is viewed from Montgomery coming.
Yep.
Up,
and that massing,
you know,
would have to include both uses. At this point, it's kind of a, you've submitted 2 uses, and I think, you know, the findings are going to have to
support either one. But,
yeah.
Right.
It makes it a little bit tougher, I think, moving forward with it.
I agree. I don't think we need to see architecture. I think we need to see massing. I would also encourage you to come back with 3D models, actual 3D models, particularly for a project of the significance.
Physical
significance.
Models.
Physical models.
Yeah.
I think we had a great precedent last
a month ago.
Oh,
ago.
Right. La Madeleine?
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, Madeleine.
La Madeleine.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't bring a model in, but it was a very well thought out presentation about massing, not about architecture. Mm-hmm. And because it's part of the public record, I'm sure you can get access to it.
And that's Washington Property Group's only
yeah.
family building?
Yeah.
But my problem has been since I first started looking at this, I don't know how you could get, I guess you can, without understanding. I'm not, you know, some of the things we've talked about today in terms of maybe using space under the building, that so strongly impacts the negative space, meaning the public space, that I don't know how you get a logical approval of one without the other. And I'm not trying to throw a monkey wrench, but...
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to, just because you're checking all the boxes of somebody thinking at a certain point in time, you have an opportunity here in a very critical building to create something perhaps out of the box, but much better.
Yeah.
And I don't think you can do that with two independent review processes. That's my
opinion. Yeah.
And I think on that note, we've been talking, the board needs to make a finding, and this panel needs to make a recommendation as to whether this project would be able to receive 10 design excellence points. And I think we don't have enough the panel does not have enough information to make that determination. We've talked a lot about sort of what happens at the ground plane. I guess I would suggest that maybe in June or May, if there's room, that we have another visit that talks about the massing, and your presentation is focused on the building massing. And then, you know, that means the sketch plan has to probably slide back, depending on how you fit into the depth. It slides back to maybe July or September. But I feel like, you know, I think you're hearing that we'd like to be accommodating, but I think at the same time, there's a critical finding that the panel needs to make, and there's just not enough information, I think, for them to make that.
I mean, I agree with it. We're fine with providing that information. Can we avoid a slide to a sketch plan by doing that, though? Is it possible?
Well,
is there room in May?
Okay, so the May schedule is full. We do have time now if you feel like we could have a presentation now.
Thing that we need. I mean, we do need to have time for the lunch. That's a very important thing.
Okay. Well, maybe
I don't want to stand between the board and lunch. That's not a good thought to be.
All right. So the next is
June
27th, and that has availability. You can maybe do an interim meeting, and I'll just get scheduled for everyone.
If we could fit them on the May, let's say after their hearing and like that.
They said it's a June
hearing. So I think what we can do is extend it to July so that you're going before the break, and then we'll just sort of we'll write the other pieces that aren't this and sort of work with you to make the end of July if that works.
I
we can do that.
I think that would work. Our goal has been to get in with the sketch plan before July so that we can get our site plan going. So we definitely don't want to miss that date.
And that gives you a month to develop all the things we talked about today in terms of how that affects the massing of the buildings.
Okay.
But it's imperative to have those two plans.
Right.
You know, the plaza plan as well as the negative one or the Mamata plan. Etc. Have very clear how you move vertically through that.
But I do think
columns.
That it's really important. I don't at all minimize the conversation we've had about the site planning and open space planning issues. It is critical to this site, but I don't want to. I would like to make sure at the next meeting we at least start off focusing on the building. And the massing of the building. This will be a very important, iconic building in downtown Bethesda, and there's lots of ways to approach the massing, and I just don't think we've even scratched the surface on that.
That makes sense to me. So that we can respond to the comments that you've made, and thank you. There are a lot of useful comments here. One thing, sort of a starting point that I'm taking away, and I hope I'm not misinterpreting what you're saying, is that subject to responding to those questions, the general location and height of the building aren't, I'm not hearing any negative comments about that. You want us to address the various connections of that, though.
You'll have to show it to us before you get that.
Well, I mean, does anybody have any concerns about that today?
I do.
Yes.
About the location of the building?
I mean, I think we need to. I think we need to see the whole picture. I don't. I mean, we're not. You know. It all fits together. You can't parse it. So,
is that the only place on the site the building can be?
Pretty much so, George. The challenges are structural, number one, because it's sitting on an existing garage. Two, fire connection. It has to be a certain distance from the road and not more than that distance, because it doesn't have, its only road access is along Wisconsin Avenue. So those two things drive it. Where the elevator drops down also has to be at a place that functions through the bus bay and into the garage. So there are a number of constraints. And then, of course, design guidelines for Bethesda provide, there are certain dimensions that people are looking for between buildings. And so when you add all of those things together, it's pretty much at this location.
I mean, it couldn't be closer to Wisconsin, I'm just asking.
It could be a little bit closer to Wisconsin, but we've been trying to balance the comments from some in the community who want, you know, an open space on Wisconsin and our own, so possibly.
I think the predominant driver really has been how we structurally support this building. And we have a column grid that we have to respect.
I mean, as a side note, the bus bay plan doesn't seem quite believable on all the loads you have to deal with and you have to.
Yeah, we have a structure.
It's a job.
Yeah. And part of the design you'll see in the next go-around is really we have this structural transfer condition. They come up from the bus bay structure and then translate that into the tower's structure. Love so, and that'll become an element that we can make very
It's part
beautiful.
Of some of the ideas that were brought up earlier about lifting out the base of the building and expressing.
I think that's really, really important, because I know we've had a lot of discussions. But what I had understood from previous meetings is that the structure of the bus bay really does dictate where the building can be, and almost even the shape of the building in some ways.
Yeah.
And that's something maybe when you're explaining the massing, it might be helpful to understand, is that, you know, where you're not building sort of from a completely start from square one situation. You have bus bays with column spacing that have to sort of stay where they are so that the buses can circulate, and that actually begins to dictate location and even shape of buildings. So
I'm absolutely
saying that in my layman's language, but you might want to explain that.
We can do that. I wouldn't bore you with bringing the structural engineer in, but we've had extensive discussions with them. So
we'll be prepared to speak to that.
Yeah, that's a fair question.
And part of that, in addition to the structure, you know, we can't plop a column down in the middle of the bus bay.
Right.
And what WMATA's really dictate to us is we can't impact the operations of their bus bay. And in fact, we think we will improve the actual operations of the buses in conjunction with improving the kiss and ride, which I know, you know, you may want to play around with. So, you know, it's just another constraint we have to deal with, that we can't really limit the amount, the volume of buses or shuttles or even pedestrian. WMATA was very concerned about pedestrian flow through that level. And we'll show you in the plans we'll prepare.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right, you've given us some homework.
Yep. So the plan is then for you all to come back June 27th prior to sketch plan at the planning board. That you focus on the building massing and also the relationship to the bus bay. And just to summarize the comments here on the public space and relationship to the context. First, it's very important to show how you're linking to the other streets and entrances into the plaza, because this is, in addition to programming, this is really important. Show more drawings to show how you're, talk to the Chevy Chase Land Company about incorporating their space into the design. Also do predictive heat mapping to understand where pedestrians are. Also a suggestion that perhaps to lift up half of the building 30 feet in the air if you explore how the space is created and make sure it's a prominent space. Looking at the central lawn and potentially eliminating the central lawn and making the front space along Wisconsin the grassy area with sculptural entrance to the metro, and also perhaps where the central lawn is now, focusing on how it connects down to the bus bay area. And then finally, next time we would like to see 3D models and potentially physical models to be very clear about the building massing. So is that, does everyone agree with that direction for that?
Yeah, I wasn't sure whether we're eliminating the central lawn or just like keeping green space in front also.
What are your thoughts?
You should explore it. I don't think anyone's saying get rid of a lawn, but they're just saying maybe it needs to have a building in it or some other kind of option.
Okay. Grass is good. All right, good. Thank you all.